Blog Talk Radio.
Bobby played his guitar on the hard side of town, where it's hard for a poor boy to find the money. He had dedication, he had the heart and soul, somehow knew he was born to play. People said, get a real job, support your family, cause there's no future in the road you're taking. He never said a word, the dreamer just kept on. Late at night you could hear him sing.
Welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today on the show, we have the super talented, super sweet singer-songwriter, Miss Julie Gibbs, stopping by to talk with us about her music, her career, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. And spoiler alert, Julie Gibb is just a sweetheart. I've been talking to her, me and Em have been talking to her off air, and she's just one of the sweetest ladies. So, I think, with that, let's bring on the lovely and talented Miss Julie Gibb to the show. What do you say, Em?
Sounds good.
Alrighty,
just trolling, trying to figure out how to turn the British voice off.
How are you guys doing today?
You?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
We really appreciate you taking a little time out of what I know is a crazy busy schedule to be here.
It's crazy, but I'd always make time for you.
We appreciate that. And that song I just played, that was for you, my friend.
I loved it. You know, it's funny. I was one of my mom's favorite songs by one of her favorite artists, and it was a very well-chosen song, not just for the sentiment, but for that. So I really appreciated that. Thank you.
I did not know that. That's
cool. That's why it was a little extra special.
Exactly.
Every time
I hear
that song,
that's
think
cool.
of Cody because he plays it all the time. And so when I'll be in the car and it comes on, or like I have it on Spotify, so it comes on when I'm driving, I always send him a screenshot.
Yes, you do. You know, and we were talking off air, and we were just having a ball off air, weren't we, Emma?
Yeah, and then the voice interrupted and was like, "It's time to go," and I was like,
"Yeah," and we're like, "Dadgum, you stupid voice." anyway, so before we get into the actual a Q&A today. You just recently released an album, didn't you?
I did. It came out last Monday. And so far, knock on wood, everybody's been really positive, very supportive about it, and I'm just thrilled. It was a tremendous undertaking to get it done, and it took a lot longer than I was hoping it would, but I'm so glad that we took the time and it was well worth the wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a chance to, I think you tweeted this out, I believe it was off the album, it was the song Consolation Prize. I got a chance to listen to that, and it's just incredible.
Thank you so much. That was one that was, like most of the songs that I write are very personal, but that one was, it took me a lot longer to write than many of the songs that I do just because I felt like it was kind of an important thing to say properly. And because it was, even though the song itself is sort of framed to sound like a romantic situation gone wrong, it was actually rooted in a friendship that was, you know, someone that I only heard from when the person was, you know, literally had nothing else to do. And so I just thought, well, I'm not your consolation prize. And that's where the song came from.
That's pretty awesome.
I have known a few people like that.
Yes, I have too.
It's not the worst when you really care for somebody and you only hear from them when they have, you know, they're either down on their luck or they want something. And it really hurt my feelings a lot, so I had to channel it into a song.
You know, and as I was researching for this interview, one of your live performances I came across, and I was just bawling my eyes out. It was just a gorgeous song. It was A Wrong Address.
It's
an absolutely gorgeous song. I think I tweeted you about that.
You did, and actually you made me laugh when you said that you were doing the ugly cry.
He does not.
There was like no sound, tears flowing. I was like, no!
That means a lot. And, I mean, that live performance wouldn't have ever made it onto YouTube except that one of my followers on Twitter, who I believe is listening from the UK right now, sent me a message and said, can you post the live version of that? And I did. And I'm so glad I did because a number of people seem to happen upon the song and really appreciate the live version even more than the studio version from the first album.
I'll send you the link, Em. I'll send you the link. You need to hear this song.
I will. I'll listen. I'm sitting here trying to fix this stupid thing, and I have tried to load this picture 4 times, and it's not working, so.
I bring bad luck to computers. I should have warned you.
I've never done this before. before. Like, this is Tony's job, so I'm actually doing it today. And literally, I've tried to do this four times. I've cropped and synced four times and refreshed the page and saved the settings, and it's just showing up as a little X.
Oh,
well.
Just means that awesome. I've entered the situation. When I enter the room, computers all go down. You're welcome.
Oh, you know, at the kick things off again today. I'd you go ahead and tell everybody how you came into this whole music business thing?
Well, I started pretty young. When I was growing up, my mom used to joke that she kept more musical instruments in the house than furniture, because she just needed to keep, there were four kids in my family, and she had each of us in a period of about a year apart, and so it was chaos. And I think she just really wanted us to be occupied with creative outlets, and I don't know that she had an intention of producing career musicians, but that's how it worked out. And I started playing shows when I was about nine. And I mean, again, it wasn't something that my parents were totally enthused about, but they were super supportive. And you know, it felt like what I wanted to do, and I still feel like it's what I'm supposed to be doing. And been crazy, but a really wonderful, wonderful ride.
Awesome. I've been pretty much taking up all of your time, Em. Do you have anything you want to ask her?
Oh, I knew it was coming. I was waiting for it. I literally felt it. Like, I feel it in my soul when you're going to be like, Emily. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, of course I have questions. I always have something to say, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so who are some of your personal, like, favorite artists and, like, musical inspirations or influences that you look up to?
I have a really oddly eclectic series of influences, because I mean, for me as a guitar player, it was really more rock guitarists. Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Randy Rhoads, but he was my favorite musician guitarist. Stephen Bruton was another. Brian May, and then for vocals, probably Linda Ronstadt was my favorite female singer. And then, amazing? And for writing, I have to say, like, Hank Williams, Willie Nelson, you know, real poets who just tell their truth in a way that is unique to them but relatable.
Okay, good choices. I was trying to think of something. I was thinking something profound to say, and it didn't really happen. Okay. That happens a lot. What's new? Cody, do you want to, like, take turns? Do you want to tag team this? You want me to keep talking?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I have to ask this question, because if I don't, one of my best friends will probably kill me.
Okay.
If you could go back and change one thing about your career, would you, and what would it be?
That's interesting. I think probably I would, if I could go back, I would go back to the beginning of when I was working professionally and not take things so for granted, because I had a record deal when I was 12, so, and I'd only been performing for about a year and a half, and so I just thought it's the easiest thing in the world. And so I very much took for granted a lot of the opportunities that came my way. And I wish I'd been more grateful and just kind of savored it and worked it harder than I did. But, I mean, I'm a big believer that things happen for reasons. And, you know, all your experiences and decisions put you in good stead to do what you're supposed to be doing. And so I guess in the grand scheme of things, I would say I wouldn't necessarily change anything, but if I could, I think it would be that. I'd be more grateful and working harder.
Awesome, awesome. You know, and kind of along the lines of other musicians, I did kind of have a fun question for you. If you could do a duet with anybody, a living or dead, who would it be and why?
Oh, my goodness. How much time do we have for me to think about that?
He stole my question. I can't believe. Oh, no, you didn't steal my question.
That's a good question, but I need to let this one, I need to mull this one over because it's, that is such a hard question.
I took 2 hours to answer, so don't worry.
Okay, good. How much time do we have?
About 15 more.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
I'll do my best to come up with something. Can we segue to a different area, and I'll try to come up with a good answer? Okay.
Yeah, let's come back to that.
I woke up to a text from him the other morning that said that, and I was like, give me like an hour.
Yeah.
And it took me a few hours to decide, but I like
who did you decide on?
I think I picked three. I think first I picked Sarah Evans because she's my favorite singer. Well, and Martina McBride, but still.
Oh, yeah.
And Bob Seger, who doesn't want to, like, duet with Bob Seger? Come on, he's Bob Seger.
Cool. That's a good choice, too.
I picked three, but I can't remember the third one. Cody, who did I say?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. I really don't remember.
I feel like maybe I said Trace Adkins just because I have a thing for him, but I'm not sure.
Those are good choices.
It was Trace Adkins. Yeah.
It was? Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I
it was Trace Adkins.
I love him, so. Okay. We won't talk about it.
Anyway. Damn.
All right. Well, my question's hard, too, so you might have to think about it. My question is going to be, if you have, this is, I asked everyone this, that's why I said you stole my question. If you could have, like, lunch or just sit down and chat with anyone, ever, who would you pick?
Ever?
And don't have to be live now, like, anybody.
Chat with anybody, does it have to be, it doesn't have to be musical?
No, not at all. Anybody.
Anybody.
Okay, this is going to sound really stupid, but it's because I've seen a lot of her shows lately. I would love to have lunch with Judge Judy.
That's great.
But you are now my new best friend.
We've had some interesting choices, but I don't think we've ever had Judge Judy. That's
we've never had Judge
great.
Judy.
But it's
nope.
One of those, you know, I don't know if that would be an all-time selection,
just
but given
now.
That I've been seeing a lot of her shows lately, watching TV at odd hours,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm suddenly sort of taken with her, and I think she is so smart, and I just think she would be a very cool person to pick her brain for a little while.
I do that. Like, I'll be, like, super into something for, like, a short period of time just because I see it everywhere. Like, especially with TV characters. Like, there will be a TV character that just stands out for me, and then I'll, like, stalk the actor on social media. And then I'll be over it in, like, 2 weeks, and then I'll find someone else. But, like, I have a few, like, resident favorites that I don't, like, stray from. But every once in a while, I have, like, somebody on TV that just, like, stands out to me, and I have to go stalk them for a few weeks. So,
I get that. I mean, it's kind of funny. If you watch TV when you're sleep-deprived, too, I think that that people's personalities have a way of sort of getting into your psyche a little more.
Yes.
And that's certainly been the case for me lately.
Well, I also
like, I don't see a ton of TV, but as I say, it's odd hours, so.
Well, and I feel like people, like, if you, like, okay, if there's already somebody that is your favorite or that you have been seeing on TV that you're loving, and then you, like, see them on social media doing funny stuff, you just love them that much more. Like, there will be something that you see online and that they said or, like, did or, like, an Instagram video, and it makes you love them so much more because you think it's the greatest thing. Cody knows he goes through it every day. I text him, like, 5,000 times with pictures, but, like,
he literally texts me probably 30 times a day.
That's
I think
hilarious.
I did that today already. And, well, no, like, especially Instagram videos. Like, Instagram video is such a good feature because it makes me, like, want to stalk people even more, which sounds terrible, but it's true.
Funny. Well, I only use Instagram pretty much. Well, I'd say 90% of my Instagram posts are videos, just because it's such a great little medium to be able to post 15 seconds of a song if I'm
mm-hmm.
just playing at home. And I love watching other people's videos too. It's so much fun.
I just post videos of my family doing stupid things. Like I think I posted an Instagram video of my grandfather and my mom trying to open, like, a coconut. at Christmas. I think I posted an Instagram video of that. I posted, well, I have one to post that I haven't posted yet, of my mom, like, tweezing my grandfather's eyebrows the other day. It was so funny.
Oh, boy.
And I started taking videos. He was like, don't put that on Facebook. And I was like, don't worry, I won't. Instagram, where's that?
Is he going on Facebook?
Man. Yeah, no, he always says don't post it on Facebook. Like, he's so funny about not having his picture on Facebook, but, like, his picture is on Instagram 100 million times because if I take a picture, it's going on Instagram. And, like, he always says don't post it on Facebook. Facebook posting is, like, getting to the point where it's outrageous. So I just post all my pictures on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know he doesn't Instagram. They haven't taken Instagram over yet. They all took Facebook over. So I, like, moved to a new social network.
We always catch up.
They do. He just got an iPhone, so I think Twitter is next for him, which scares me. He's texting we taught him to text, and he sends me texts now, like, stupid stuff. He accidentally sent me an email the other day, and he was like, I texted you, and I was like, no, you didn't. And then I checked my email, and I was like, you emailed me to tell me you're ready to go. Like, how am I supposed to know this?
Though, if he's new to the, you know, the technical world, that, you know, that would be a pretty minor distinction. But
yeah.
Good for him that he's doing it. And, I mean, I would hope that, you know, you'll take advantage of the technology and get him to shoot videos of his stories and his life.
Isn't
because this is a wonderful opportunity to document. And, you know, it's a big deal.
Well,
you can't get that back.
He's like the resident photographer. Like, if we have an event we all go to. And now he's, like, got this iPhone. And I'm like, you need to, like, because I take pictures of everything. I'm getting to the point now where my parents are, like, put the camera down. So I'm like, now we can teach him the art of having the camera just in your hand, in your pocket at all times.
It's amazing how different it is.
It is, and it's a good thing, like, having a camera just, like, at arm's length all the time. And he sent me, he was in the kitchen the other day, and I texted him, like, pictures, so he would have pictures in his phone because he didn't have any. And he texted me back and said, fix my Walkman. Like, I had his MP3 player in here, and he literally sends me a text that says, go fix my Walkman and stop.
Oh, wow.
All he wants is his MP3 player, like, I don't know why.
While we're on the subject of social media, how, as an artist, has a social media impacted your career and your fan base?
It's an interesting thing because I really resisted it at first because there are some people who kind of have the look at me, you know, personality, and that's not me. Like, I've always been much more focused on just trying to be a better musician, be a better writer. And I'm not really crazy about drawing attention to myself, but one social media site at a time, I've kind of been embracing it. And it's been fantastic how many just wonderful people I've connected with, you know, who are, you know, enjoying the music, but also are just connecting with me on a personal level and professionally, too. I mean, it's been amazing. And I'm the last person in the world to set up my Facebook artist page, which I did on Friday. And it's pretty great. It was daunting, as I say, at first, but I love it.
Okay.
You know,
legit question here, Cody, because I know you use it. Can somebody get me on this Periscope thing? Because I don't get it. I am the last person in the
Periscope
world.
Periscope is cool.
I'm not with it. Julie, are you on Periscope?
I am not.
I'm not doing
one little baby step at a time, because that's the other thing, too, is that social media is an incredible time commitment.
It is.
You know, I've gotten to a point where I've got to just schedule it, because otherwise the day is getting away from me and I'm not getting quite as much actual music work done as I want to.
Right.
Well, I feel like I'm the only person in the world not on Periscope, and I don't understand it to begin with. I downloaded it and then I deleted it because I didn't get the whole purpose. And Cody's always texting me saying, like, look at this. And I'm like, what are you? I'm
Periscope.
I don't get the trend. I don't understand. I'm so behind.
I think
so
it's a good thing just to kind of go with what speaks to you, because there, you know, for people who are totally visual, you know, Pinterest is amazing. Well, same with Instagram, but I think it just depends on your own personal sensibility and how quickly you like information to come at you. So if you're not into it, don't do it.
See,
I'm definitely a Twitter person.
I'm a social media I'm a social media fanatic. Back in the days of MySpace, I had MySpace. I've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, a Periscope, obviously. I'm not big on Pinterest, but, you know.
I like Pinterest, and, but, like, I'm on everything. I'm just not an avid, like, I'm not an active member of these things. I, like, made an account on everything you could imagine. I just don't use them.
Yeah. I'm
on
kind
there,
of the same, actually.
And,
except for the work
and
stuff.
I'm
the work
on
stuff
my,
I do every day.
Now, the way I use social media is I'm probably the most a positive person you'll ever meet in your entire life. So
except
so
when he's under pressure, he forgets this part.
Yeah, I'm not good under pressure at all.
Disclaimer: Wing Cody.
Well, who is?
He cannot hang on the fly, though. Like, okay, we had this time. We were supposed to have a show, and our guest was, like, 10 minutes late, which is super scary because most people were 10 minutes early. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to, like, guess our way out of the situation and make it seem like we're totally okay with it. And Cody is, like, not responding to anything.
And I'm just sitting here freaking out.
He was just sitting freaking out. He was not responding to talking, you know, giving the daily, like, news, whatever. And Cody is giving me nothing. And I'm like, Cody, you have to stop freaking out because we have to
stop
pretend like this is okay.
anyway, I use social media as kind of a, you know, I'll, my Twitter followers, I call them my Twit fam, a Twitter family. So I'll send out a random text, be like, or a random tweet, be like, hey, y'all, hope y'all are having a awesome day. And I'll tweet with my followers, and I'll be like, you, my friend, are awesome. So
he does this, indeed. He's the most, like, active Twitter member, I think. I mean, I check Twitter every day, but I don't tweet unless
I'm probably not the most
like,
active Twitter member.
Well, not the most active, but you're the most active I know.
Yeah, I'm fairly active. 6 days of the week, I try not to look at anything on Sundays if I can, just so I have one day to live in the space that I'm in without a phone on me. But it's amazing to connect with people, and I love that aspect of it. And that's actually how we connected, is it not, on Twitter?
Yeah, it actually is. You know, I think you actually started following me first, if I'm not mistaken.
Could be.
You followed me, and I didn't know who you were, so I didn't follow back. But I followed back now. I'm one of those people that, like, if you follow me on Twitter, I don't know you. I'm not going to follow you back. Like, that happens a lot. And people are like, why don't you follow everybody back? Because Cody follows everybody back. And I'm like, if you talk to me and we don't know each other, then there is no reason for me to follow you on Twitter.
But
I did follow you back.
There's a stipulation to that.
You were coming on the show.
There's stipulations to my follow back policy.
Is there?
If your tweets are protected, there's no way you're getting a follow back if your tweets are protected.
Yeah, that's one of my policies too. And I usually, what I'll do is check and see if there's anything. Like, I wouldn't follow somebody who posts things that are mean or you know, rude.
Right.
There's just no reason to do that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, just bad energy.
Well,
you don't need it.
We deal with a lot of not only soap-like actors, people who are in the scene, like actors, producers, writers, and also the soap fans, which are, like, quite a nasty group of people, or tend to be.
Yes, they're
not
a little.
But there's definitely some nasty, nasty soap fans out there. And some
soap opera fans are a different animal.
Amen. They'll follow me, and I'll go, like, look at their page, and they'll be saying stuff, and I'm like, okay, I don't even follow you, and we're about to get into it over that one. And a lot of soap fans, since you see these people every single day on TV, a lot of them, like, get so defensive, and they get to the point where they're criticizing the actors playing the characters.
Exactly.
And it just gets so out of hand, and I see it, and I, like, block and report people, and Cody just puts them on mute because he feels bad for blocking and reporting people.
Wow.
You know, I rarely block anybody, but the mute button has become my best friend.
Yeah, for me, if it's, I don't think I've blocked anybody, but I've unfollowed people if they're posting things that, as I say, I mean, are just vulgar or mean-spirited,
right.
Just because I don't
right.
want to see it. It's I just don't understand the mentality that says, yeah, this is a good idea to post something mean in public.
Oh, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Do you ever see those tweets from people when you, like, get embarrassed for them for tweeting that?
Oh, yeah.
Because I do that. Like, last night, I don't think, well, maybe it's been 2 nights ago, someone tweeted some fan fiction to somebody that I follow, and it was, like, about that person. So, like, they tweeted it to him, and I was like, why would you do that? Why would you tweet your fan fiction that is crazy enough as it is to the people you wrote it about? I don't understand. That it's one thing for it to be out there and to be posted, and if you're going to write fan fiction, that's great. Keep it on its respected site, you know?
Yeah.
But don't tweet it at the people you wrote it about. Like, that embarrasses me for this person and for everybody else who saw that tweet, especially the people that they sent it to. Like, that embarrassed me so bad for them. I was like,
right.
I can't believe you even had a lapse in judgment where you thought that was a great thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a number of people don't realize also that, you know, there is a permanent record of what goes out online.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, it can have long-lasting repercussions if you post the wrong things
oh,
in
yes.
public.
Or
oh,
if
yes.
you post things that people like, you'll be getting notifications for a year. Because I got a notification the other day that somebody retweeted a tweet I sent like a year ago, and I don't know where they found it. They had to either be doing some serious stalking or been using Time Hop. But they retweeted it, and they were like, this is so funny. And I was like, this was funny a year ago. It's not anymore.
It's funny
yeah,
a year ago, not now.
Yeah. Well, it's new to them.
That's
yep.
true. It was funny when it was new information for the rest of us. Now it's not
yeah.
so funny. And I'm one of those
yeah.
people that
yeah.
laugh at my own jokes. So, like, I thought it was funny when I posted it, but not now.
Dang. 30 minutes flew by, didn't it, y'all?
Wait a minute.
Sure did.
You have to answer your question about your
yes.
duet.
Oh,
it's a
duet.
Oh, duet question.
Boy. I'm trying.
We're so mean. We're terrible.
Well, the problem is, though, I'm drawing a blank because there are too many people that would be too great to do that with. But then the calculating part of me is going, well, you wouldn't necessarily want a duet with certain female singers who are, I mean, there are a lot of singers who are way better than I would be. And like, for example, if I said Linda Ronstadt, I would love to sing with her, but at the same time, I don't think I want to be on stage with her because there's
That's
no way
I
can come near.
That's what I was thinking when I was doing it, because Martina McBride is my favorite, absolute favorite. Broken Ring is my favorite song ever. I sing it every time I sing that I sing.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to be on the same stage as Martina McBride,
no.
though.
No.
I
so you see my problem?
I get you.
I'm the exact same way. Like somebody like a Chris Young or somebody would sing me under the table.
That's how I
but
feel.
But it's a strange thing because on one hand you want to duet with somebody who's so great, but on the other hand
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be the one who's being compared to,
yes.
you know.
Well,
right.
and I love Cher. I also love Cher. I like worship her. But I wouldn't want to sing with Cher, ever. Like, I wouldn't
no.
want to compete with that.
No.
No.
That's a hard question.
It really is. And I'm going to be thinking about it overnight tonight, going, who could it possibly be?
That's what I did. Well, because, you know, on The
we'll
Voice,
let you
they
the
do that. Like, on The Voice, when they get to a certain point, they get to choose someone that they sing with, and they, like, have to tell you, like, before the season starts, you know, they say, write down a list of people you want to sing with, and then when they get to a certain point, if they make it that far, they get them someone that they've, like, asked for, and it's, like, a surprise. I was thinking, that's when I started that debate in my mind, because I heard that on a show, and I started thinking about it, and I was like, I love all these people, but I would have just picked my favorite, because I don't want to compete with them at any level. And I always make the joke that, like, Martina McBride almost sings Broken Wing as well as I do, but it's totally a joke. Absolutely a joke. And it's totally a joke. And I would not want to compete with anyone that I, like, that's so great. Like, I just couldn't. Nope. I would be embarrassed if I even tried.
We'll let you off the hook with that one.
But we will tweet you and demand an answer tomorrow.
Okay, I'll work that out for you.
Tony never told me. Wait, Hoodie, did you pick one? Because I didn't know if you did or not. You never told me.
I don't remember. I'll text you later.
Okay. Celebrity crush.
I wanted to thank you again for taking a little time to come on and talk with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me.
You were fun. I liked this.
You're fun to talk to, too.
And I think I can safely say this. I consider you a friend.
As you should. I consider you a friend as well.
We'll talk to you on social media, too. Don't worry.
Oh, yes. I'll let you go, and I'll be talking to you later, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Have a great night, you guys.
You too.
Oh, thanks, Julie. Bye.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. She was great.
She was great. I love her, and I want to be her best friend.
She was just great, wasn't she?
To be honest,
that's all I
got to
say about
this. I'm going to be real here. Haven't had that much for a while. Well, excluding the band Angelica, but that doesn't count because I do know them for real. So,
yeah, but she's just
like,
great,
I know them, know them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, she's like the first thing we've had on that I didn't know that was so much fun. And I'm so excited to like be her best friend now. But like the band Angelica. Yeah, exactly. Well, the band Angelica was already, I'm already friends with them. So it wasn't
right.
like a big deal.
So it wasn't like you,
I already knew them.
You met them for the first time, exactly, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I already knew them, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just thought.
All right, time for announcements.
Oh, let me say this first. Let's have BS hour because we haven't done that in a while. So, before we came on air, I saw this picture on my timeline on Facebook, and I started crying like while the audio was playing, and I literally was a mess, and then I was okay. I saw a picture. I don't know if you've seen it. Do you follow TonyGeary.net on Facebook?
No.
There's a picture of him and Jeannie from his last day, and they're looking at each other, and they're, like, holding hands, like, facing each other, and you can tell that she's crying. And I literally just, like, that made me an emotional mess because I can't even grasp the fact that Tony Geary is, like, going to be gone in a month. So that just got me hard. Like, that hit me. That hit home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that really hit home, and so did... My local news just covered the story of his last air date being the 27th, like an hour ago. That really hit home. It's hitting home now. It's getting real.
The crap's getting real, isn't it?
We need to have a GH recap on Friday because it's been 100 freaking years.
Yes, we do. If I'm not over at the river, which I go every weekend, I'll be there this weekend, obviously for the 4th, and I'm not sure about the next weekend, so I'll...
Can you do it from the river if I do studio?
I could do that. Yes, I could.
I can do studio if I'm home, which I should be home.
All right.
I'm not expecting to have a life
right
now.
Then
anything,
we'll plan on
so.
Probably weekend after next.
That works. Because this weekend
Alrighty.
Is the 4th, right?
Yep.
Saturday's the 4th. I need to get my
yes,
plans in order. And by plans in order, I mean I'm going to Thunder on the Mountain, and if they want to come with, that's chill.
All right, time for
announcements. You have to do them because I don't have them on the calendar.
We have quite a few announcements, actually, today.
I'm going to go put them on my calendar as you do them because I don't have them.
Okay. Tomorrow, 5 p.m. At 5 p.m. Central tomorrow, we have one of my favorite people back on the show with us. Somebody that you didn't have a chance to talk with him.
I have that one on the calendar. Go team.
We have the... A lovely and talented Miss Alara Ashley back with us. And
I'm so excited.
That's Tuesday the 30th. And Thursday the 2nd, we have Alexis Driscoll and Julia Freeze, a.k.a. A country music duo, Heartland Ray, coming on the show with us at 5 p.m. Central, like usual. So that's the 2nd. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, yeah. The 27th of July, we have a singer-songwriter, Ashley Taylor, on the show with us. And y'all, I'm just going to say it right now, you're just going to love her. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about that.
So you know how I have, we've discussed this on the show many times about how Emily has a cat doing yoga thing calendar. So I just looked at July because I was going to like make sure you got all the announcements. And the cat, it's like a calico cat doing a handstand. And it's just the greatest thing.
Nice. That's cool.
I don't
cool.
look at them in advance because I want to be surprised when I get to that month. Okay, we have 5 minutes. Alrighty. I'm not going to be done. So, real talk for a second.
Alrighty.
I've talked forever about how I want you to be friends with the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was giving this some thought earlier as I was watching General Hospital, and her and Emma Sams are just giving me life, by the way.
Yes, they are.
I love her so much, I would probably go into, like, anaphylactic shock.
Anaphylactic shock.
And I would probably, like, be a mess. Like, you think I was a mess when Mary Beth Evans came on? I didn't even watch Days of Our Lives then. So could you imagine what I'd be like if she's back? That would be 10 times as bad for Virginia Frank.
Oh, my God.
She's literally my
that
love.
Would
like,
be...
I love that woman.
But this show would totally, completely go off the rails if that happened.
Always. Well, I'm striving for the goal of Mary Beth and Steven at the same time, and I don't think it would be that hard to do either. Kathy said she didn't think it would be difficult at all, which I don't either. But could you imagine, as bad as I would be over that, I would be 10 times worse.
Yes, you would. I think I'm going to let you go and wrap up here, all right?
Will you fix the picture, please? Because it won't
what?
Work. Will you please fix the picture? Because I've tried to fix it 5 times and it won't work.
I'll try.
Kill myself over this.
I'll try my best. All
right. Okay, suicide jokes are not funny, guys. I apologize.
No.
Anyways, bye.
I'll talk to you later, girl.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our pretty hilarious 30-minute interview with the lovely and talented Miss Julie Gibb. Julie is like just the greatest. That's what I'm going to say. Julie's like the greatest. I think, since you've already heard the announcements, I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.